Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Deal are poised and ready for the second half action to begin. We could do with some more goals at Rugby Park, where it is goalless. Hearts have dominated things. We could do with some more goals at Pittodrie, where there's really not much in it at all. Goalless there. St Johnstone nil, Hibs 2. Craig Levine's not having a good afternoon. And Livy beating Ross County as well, as they look to either prolong their stay in the division or kickstart a miraculous comeback. We're already underway in some of the games, so much so that Falkirk have taken the lead. Annan 1, Falkirk 2, Liam Henderson with the goal. So let's get these second halves truly up and running.
Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. From apprenticeships to pharmacy managers, start your career with them today.
Can we do a 0-0s at this time of the season? Can we get the proverbial finger out in Ayrshire or Aberdeen?
Yeah, but just listening to lads around the grounds with their reports or half-time reports, I am very confident we'll get goals in the second half.
Good on you. Where does the confidence come from?
I like the way Dave went about his half-time team talk. I think that message will get through to
team
the
team talk. I hope they
catch fire in the second half.
They'll catch fire. He'll be in fire. The Red Army, they'll be in fire. But and Kilmarnock and Hearts, I can't see that being a dull 0-0.
That's a dull 0-0.
Yeah, we're still no teams actually back out at Rugby Park. Roger Hanna, are you going to get the goals that you crave?
I hope so. The Kilmarnock team just beginning to come out. Interesting to see if there's any changes, because as we said, both sides changed formation from the last time out, and it certainly suited Hearts more. The 3-4-2-1, they've got more bodies in the middle of the park. Kilmarnock really missing the energy of young David Watson. There is actually going to be a change. I wonder if Watson would come into the midfield. He's not, but Brad Lyons is going to come into the Kilmarnock midfield, and that's certainly what they were missing. They were getting overrun there. Hearts had far more bodies in that engine room. They were creating chances. They should have been ahead. Only the woodwork twice denying them. Kenny Vargas and Cammy Devlin both hitting the bar, and it's a change of system as well. Robbie Dees, who came into the side when they went back to 4-4-2, he's coming off. Brad Lyons is going in. It looks as if they're going 3-5-2 to try and match up with Hearts and get some kind of foothold in this game, Gordon.
We'll see if it works. Managers earn their keep, I suppose, by making these decisions. Perhaps a surprise, no David Watson. Lots of hype around him, given that it is awards season, and the young player, the actual player of the year award as well. I'll get you three to do that at some point in the second half, because you're hopeless at predicting football games. So this should be easier. I'll try and get you to predict
the
four-man shortlist that will be announced on Monday. It's the last time. Well, I suppose you'll be on tomorrow, but we'll do it today anyway and see how you get on, so you can predict the four. I'll get back to you. I'll give you some thinking time.
That's right on my street as a past one or twice.
Just to work through, because I'm not necessarily asking who you would choose. I'm asking you to try and predict who the four will be. See, there's a subtle difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get back to you. Is Roger Hanna going to get his goal? You think the way Hearts finished that half, a sign of things to come?
Yeah, I think Roger's full of confidence there. I like his positivity. And I think it'll filter through onto the pitch, and we'll get goals in the second half.
That Falkirk goal's the only one anywhere in Scotland, I think, in the second half.
And I turn to my two ex-professional colleagues here. Do you think there's a post-split problem with players who level drops a bit?
I still think that you're looking at, you're still playing for bonus money. You're still playing
at the first.
The first thing that comes,
first thing
to mind,
that comes to mind.
Not like the pride or the badge on the jersey or anything.
Not at all. I've never been one of these that really interested in what colour of jersey I'm wearing. It's all about the candy at the end of the day.
He's a mercenary, really.
Yeah.
Penalty, Ross County. Shake things up. Remember, Livy were leading, and it's going to be another one of those. The ball flicked up off an arm by the looks of it. Oh no. Penalty to Livy. It's flicked up off the arm of Jack Baldwin. I did wonder when I saw Jack Baldwin's name involved. So
you know there's a calamity when Jack Baldwin's about.
But is Livy no terrible at penalties?
Season, Jack.
Who takes Livy's penalties?
Sean Kelly. Remember, he scored one against past his brother earlier this season. He's going to take. But you're right, they've missed a few. And it might be the latest in the long line of handball debates. But there we are. Nothing new there. Sean Kelly's going to take to try and put Livy two up. That would be the dream start to the second half. They started the first half pretty brightly. Hearts just wasted a good counter attack as well. They were through on goal. Sean Kelly is going to step up from the spot.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
No mistake made. Livingston 2, Ross County 0. And as it stands, which becomes used regularly at this time of the season, Livy may well be relegated, but it won't be today.
Well, it's a great show of character. And if you're Don Cowie, the Ross County manager, what's happening there? You know, you can beat Rangers for the first time in your life, and then, you know, you're looking to take advantage of Livy, their severe situation, and you're two down.
Nah. But that is your league this year, Hugh. Mm-hmm. Inconsistency throughout it. And I even include Celtic and Rangers within that. You know, there's your...
Well, that's it. It's too much to ask Ross County to be consistent, isn't
yeah.
it?
If even have Celtic Rangers drop and Aberdeen as well. You look at Aberdeen last week. We all raved about them, how they looked a threat going forward. Look at them today, home against Motherwell.
Well, clinging on a bit, Motherwell, to the clean sheet, because Angus McDonald's angled drive, it sort of hit a Motherwell defender on the line. It's then hacked clear. So coming closer, Angus McDonald, he had quite the afternoon, didn't he?
Oh,
last weekend, yeah. Gave the goal away in terrible fashion. Came up the other end, scored a dramatic equaliser.
Pulled his foot away for James Forrest, yeah. One as well before getting the equaliser.
Tucked a penalty away
as well. Yeah, I think he said after it, in his post-match as well, he says he thought they were going to win it at that stage, and he was right to think that. I think when you grab a last minute equaliser, you sometimes think the stars are just aligned for you in that occasion. But Joe Hart was the hero on the day. Yeah,
I think it was Lennon Miller that cleared it off the line, so doing good defensive work on that occasion. Kilmarnock already looking better, so that change at the break, change of shape, trying to make a difference, and it has done, certainly on the eye test early on in the second half. Albeit you could always just say that maybe it couldn't be any, you know, or much worse. There was a Brad Lyons, the man who came on, an angled cross there. Xander Clark takes it at the second time of asking.
Yeah, I think Derek had to address something. By all reports from Roger, Hearts were a better side in the first half, and they had to match up and go back to their usual formation, that three at the back, get players higher up the pitch in the wide areas as well. So that's what you're a manager for. You've got to make big decisions, and Derek's a very experienced manager. He's looked at the first half. It's not been acceptable. I'm going to change stuff here, and obviously it's working already.
See, this, always, you're never sure what's true and what's not on Twitter, but I've seen this now a few times, so I would assume this is true, but it would have been said tongue in cheek, obviously, and complimentary. Davy Moyes on Jurgen Klopp. I'm just wary if I'm falling for a fake quote, but I feel like I can imagine I'm saying it in a tongue-in-cheek way. I'll be glad he's gone. F too big, teeth are too bright. He's been immense for Liverpool. He's the daddy there, and he's been able to control a big football club. Hurry up and get away. I can imagine that.
Yeah, it's kind of managerial sarcasm, isn't it?
Yeah, anyway. He's writing a lot of things. His teeth are quite big.
Well, Fergie, the Sir Alex, when Klopp arrived at first, I just see the big teeth.
So goals going in down the leagues: Edinburgh City 1, Stirling Albion 2, Josh McPake with it, Kelty 0, Montrose 2. And let's do this, Hugh Keevans.
The second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Andrew Shinney and Ollie McBurney. I have been managed by Duncan Ferguson and Derek McInnes. I have 2 caps for my national team, and I am still playing in England. Who am I? Played alongside Andrew Shinney and Ollie McBurney. Been managed by Duncan Ferguson and Derek McInnes. 2 caps for my national team, and I'm still playing in England.
Who am I? Good question, that. At Clyde SSB, get your name in as quickly as you can and see if you can beat everyone else to it. It's tough but doable. At Clyde SSB, there's been a red card at Pittodrie, and it's come for Motherwell's Jack Vale. That's going to make life pretty difficult for Stuart Kettlewell's side. Aberdeen had started the second half brightly as well, had a shot cleared off the line. Now a red card for a challenge on McKenzie. So you wonder if that's all heading towards an Aberdeen victory. That's a blow so early in the, half.
Massive, because I think Vale's been a terrific signing. I think he works so hard for the team. I'm a bit surprised it was him. When you said it was a red card, Motherwell, I probably wouldn't have been first on the list.
It's just one of those that they're both sliding in for the ball.
A striker's tackle, is it?
I don't even know, because I think both were just sliding in, whether Vale's caught McKenzie or not. But sent off anyway.
Yeah, it's a blow.
The flip side of that coin is, if Aberdeen don't beat 10 man Motherwell, it further antagonises the supporters. So two sides to every story.
Well, we'll take a look at it, of course, and debate it on Monday night and argue amongst ourselves as to whether it was the right decision or not. You can join in on the phone lines. Any ideas about the teaser yet, Gordon? You're usually very good at these because someone tells you the answer.
Yeah, I've not been getting my information of recent weeks, Gordon. I've sort of given up.
Mark Wilson's gone early.
Miles away.
Tell us the name then, if it's wrong.
Kristen Doidge.
No.
This is stupid.
They're checking that VAR. They're checking that red card on Jack Vale. Suppose it would come into now. Will it be overturned? It would need to be a clear and obvious error. So if there's any kind of studs on leg contact, it'll probably still stand. But we'll need to wait and see. You never can second guess these things. Mo Sangari's come on for Livy because Obalai's gone off injured. Remember, they lead 2-0, so looking pretty good for the victory today. That would not do a huge deal for their chances of staying up, but clearly a step in the right direction.
Amazing. If it stays like that, it'll be only the fourth game all season they've won. Now imagine being part of that squad. I know you're culpable, you're part of it, but the feeling of losing most weeks, so the joy that those players will have might be short lived. But
red card stands. Motherwell are down to 10 men. Jack Vale sent off a straight red card. Almost 3-0 to Hibs. Phillips has to hack a Maeda shot off the line. I don't think St John, and I don't always like going down this route, Hugh, because it is what it is, but it's not a big crowd at St Johnson. They're not overly vociferous, but whoever is there will be pretty angry at what they're seeing.
Well, you know, Livy will go down. They're showing valour today in the face of all the problems, but they will go down. Therefore, we're now talking about the playoffs. Ross County, 2 down at Livy, they're getting nothing out of today. St Johnston, 2 down at home to Hibs, they're getting nothing out of today. So St Johnston on 31 points, Ross County on 30. The two of them are in trouble.
Without doubt. Too late for Livy, definitely. Too late for Livy. They've got the bottom. The rest of the bottom six to play.
They would have to take back the Manager of the Year award and give it to Davy Martindale if he pulled that one off.
Yeah, I tend to agree. But the way the other two are playing, you just can't see any consistency with any of those.
No, it's between St Johnston and County. You've got to say.
You fancy your chances?
I found my magic eight ball again from last week. Okay. Will Livy stay up?
Right,
go for it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ask it, is Gordon Dale a gentleman?
Did Gordon Dale get a taxi?
With M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal Aberdeen, we said it was coming, and it's Gartenman with the header from a corner. They were already starting to get on top. Motherwell then went down to 10, and the 10 men have not held on for very long at all. Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0.
Well, uphill struggle now, and that's an understatement. But the real... Motherwell are not going to get involved in the playoffs, even though it's bad today, and neither will Aberdeen. So it's all about St Johnston and Ross County.
It's all about money as well, Hugh, though. Each place comes with a bit of cash, and maybe not for Aberdeen, but for Motherwell, I'd imagine it would impact Stuart Keltwell's budget for next year, finishing at the top of the pile there. So You know, wondering if players' minds wander to holidays. Managers' minds don't. Managers' minds are thinking already, what does this squad look like next season? Who am I getting rid of? Who's actually out of contract? Who's moving on with Blair Spittle? And who can I replace him with?
Whoever is manager of Ross County next season, and it's by no means certain it will be Don Cowie, but he will have the comfort of a very, very rich owner in Roy McGregor. Meanwhile, in Perth, the Brown family are trying to sell St Johnston, and it stands to reason that You get a much higher price for a St Johnstone team who are in the Premiership than you do for a St Johnstone team who are in the Championship.
Annan won Falkirk 3, so the invincible run, certainly the unbeaten continues. Run certainly looks like it will continue. 61 minutes gone there. Confirmation of that Stephen Gartenman goal for Aberdeen on the hour mark. So they lead 10 man Motherwell by a goal to nil. Hard to see a Motherwell come back from here, Gordon. They have been the comeback specialists in the Premiership this season, but this seems different.
But away to an Aberdeen team now, they're one behind. You looked at Aberdeen last week, showed a lot of courage, played some really good stuff against Celtic. It's an uphill battle, of course it is. So no, I don't see any way back, unfortunately, for the Steelmen this afternoon.
But I ain't seen, there was a game earlier, or a couple of years ago, Motherwell went down to 10 men at Pittodrie, and Kevin Van Veen was brilliant that day.
Yeah, I think that rings a bell.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, how they could do with somebody like that just now. Where is he? Is he getting any game time whatsoever at Kelly? Has he just been, Derek McInnes had one look at him in the flesh and just thought, you are nowhere near fit enough to play in my team?
Or realistically, maybe a bit, but also it doesn't,
he's got good options.
It doesn't matter so much when you're flying and you're winning games. So it's not, you know, it's, he's not, ironically,
I still think if you're good enough, you get in.
But he came into a, you know, winning team that's.
I'm just talking about who he was mentioned with, who he was linked with.
Came on
the
for a
scramble for him.
But that's what I mean, though. It just so happens that he came in and he kind of didn't need him, really, you know. I think he's come on for a couple of minutes in the previous game, same again before that. So, yeah, very, very limited game time at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, what a difference a year makes, because he was undoubtedly the talk of the town last year. Yeah, just fantastic season he had. Been linked with Celtic, been linked with Rangers, chose to move away, and now look at him, he's sitting on the bench at Rugby Park.
A lot of supporters thought that he could do a job for Rangers or Celtic coming off the bench. He was that good, Mark. But it just shows you have one good season and then you've not backed it up.
And would you have taken him over Theo Bear if he came in just now? Would you play him ahead of Theo Bear
just now? Absolutely no chance. No.
There you go. Difference a year makes.
The Bear's a man.
Not today, he's not.
Oh, did you see though the video that's gone up? You can't have been happy with this in your day. I wonder if this is a, would this be a fine amongst the team? Would the other boys in the team be happy about this? Did you see the video I think it was his partner put up on, I don't know, TikTok or something? Not see
what
this yesterday.
That? What was that?
So it basically was a TikTok video. And it's Theo Bear kind of lying back, topless.
Yeah,
and
like
it says, I thought we were going to watch Netflix, but we're watching his 2024 highlights. And then it kind of cuts to those two sitting, like lying back on the couch or the bed. He's topless. And then it cuts back to the TV. And rather than watching some romantic film, they're watching him scoring goals.
Mate,
it's as grim as it sounds.
I think you should be banned out of the dressing room for that situation.
Feast your eyes on that. I think that's got to be a fine.
Nah.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I'm sorry, is that his partner that's put that on?
Yes.
That's separation material. Pack your bags.
He's obviously willing to take part in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so bad.
Have you not seen that? Get yourselves on.
If I did that with my wife, we'd be up to 4 in the morning watching my goals.
Except most of them were scored before colour TV was invented. Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. That's not
great, is it? The chip against Livy is lovely, for what it's worth.
Lovely, but I don't know if it'd be.
I don't know
if it'd be lying topless with mother half watching that.
I'd have to have a wee bag of popcorn as well, just to set it all off.
You're good. See, a tub of popcorn.
It's also
the old trick.
If you watch closely as well, there's a stunning goal from his time at Vancouver, but that was a good few years ago as well. He's digging out the old ones.
Maybe that's just the way
players get ahead of themselves now. Yeah. I mean, he's had one good season.
What's wrong with a man enjoying his good
form? Do you think
form?
He went, darling, can I go to bed early tonight? Yeah, okay, let's sit on the TV.
Put something romantic on and
get you in
the mood.
Let's watch my goals.
That is genuinely the type of thing you would do, though, I reckon.
Absolutely. I've never watched a game in my life back. I'll guarantee you, when he's walking to the toilet, she is giving him what for. all day long.
It sounds like it was her idea, and I don't know what you meant by that phrase. I think you meant giving
him,
I think you meant giving him like.
I can't accept that. That's unacceptable.
But here's the thing.
There's a lot of things unacceptable. I've had them this week. That's another
but
one.
But here's the thing. Adam Binney, who's at the Livingston game, he's a young man, a very young man.
Don't tell me he would do the same.
He's down with the kids, and he says it's a, he thinks it was a bit of a joke because it's a trend that American college players have adopted and started posting about. That's fine for them. They can do that.
Yeah,
they can knock themselves out. This will not go down well in Lanarkshire.
Mate,
get Halliday's taking this.
Oh, I have.
Oh,
give us insight.
He wasn't impressed.
You've got. I would be in the dressing room waiting for him to come in. I know he's a big lad, but I would be slaughtering him.
What would you say?
Oh,
Andy Halliday said that's unacceptable. And Andy Halliday, well, he's got experience and influence.
He didn't have the popcorn because he didn't have the smarts to open the box.
Anyway, at that game, Devlin's just headed a junior Hoylett corner over. So Aberdeen looking for a second. If Theo Bear can add another one to the highlights reel before the afternoon ends. But they are down to 10 men. So it's a bit of an uphill task. Still nothing. Kilmarnock Hearts. I think I need to refer back to my magic eight ball. Are we getting a goal, Kelly Hearts?
No.
Did you say?
No.
Very yeah. likely.
Very Good. Likely.
It's in optimistic form today. Let's remind ourselves of that teaser, please, Hugh.
Okay. I have played alongside Andrew Shinney and Ollie McBurney. I have been managed by Duncan Ferguson and Derek McInnes. I have two caps for my national team, and I'm still playing. In England.
Still nothing from you, Mark Wilson. Gordon Deal.
Guess Christian
Hold
Doyle.
On, hold on.
Let's see who's texted you now to tell you the answer.
Nobody. I don't know how to spell the second.
Aye.
Is it?
Has he got it?
Yeah, he's got it.
Well done. I was going to go for somebody else. Stuart, I was going to go for John Fletch.
Stuart has gone Fraser Hornby.
No.
Nacho wants to say Dean Campbell.
Resist that.
Stephen says Paolo Di Canio.
Ah, no.
Did Paolo Di Canio get Italy caps? Or did he not famously not get any? I'm trying to remember, because your clue is that player has got two.
Yeah.
No, none for Paolo Di Canio. There we go.
What a player as well. Didn't get any caps.
It's not him.
That's a bit like my career.
What no else caps. Have we got on here? Someone else is in the same line as you. Jamie McCarry goes John Fleck and Ollie Burke.
No.
Yeah.
Ollie Burke, they both have more than two caps, I would have thought. If this isn't going to help much, but just to add a bit of detail, not only is he still playing in England, he literally is, because he's playing today.
Yeah.
He's in action currently. Is his team still losing today? I think they are, but anyway. Let's get back to the football that we've got on offer. Still waiting that goal, if we're going to get it. Kilmarnock Hearts, Motherwell have just been carved open there. 10 man Motherwell, Miovski, he gets it past the keeper, and then looking for Hoylett to arrive and provide the final touch. It didn't come. Oh, there you go. It was an early kickoff that he played in today. Even easier for you to go and try and research who that was. Blaney says, who was that Motherwell player you were just talking about making the video? It was Theo Bear, Feed the Bear, in team of the season for PFA Scotland.
And it was on TikTok, was it?
Yes,
I'm on it.
Are you big into your TikTok?
I love TikTok. I lie for something hours and just watch TikTok.
Who do you watch?
Everybody. I just flick through.
Why?
And see.
Is it rude?
No, not at all. I don't see anything rude enough in my.
What type of videos do you watch then on TikTok? Because I don't watch it. I've golf. Got it, but
You watch golf.
Yeah, I watch a golf. I watch sort of a comedy sketches and stuff like that. I'm very TikTok up.
TikTok Daz.
I'm TikTok up.
TikTok Daz, they could call you.
I don't know how to follow.
So you don't post anything on it. You just observe.
No, observe.
Let's get you posting just now. We'll do a live TikTok.
This could be your first ever.
Aye.
You just sitting there. I think we did discuss this before. Actually, this rings a bell. I think we did discuss this previously.
I thought TikTok was just all about people dancing. You know, silly dances. But I guess
not at all. It's quite entertaining. TikTok and Twitter's the two things I would very much.
You're big on Instagram as well.
I'm massive on Instagram.
Golf pictures. I saw you and Mark Wilson.
I saw you post that.
Out
in the course. He said to me, he was playing me, take a picture. And his instruction to the person it was taking, to Marco, get me in it. It's if there was any other option. But deadly serious, get me in it.
Do you know what really annoys me, right?
He's a sensitive soul. We played golf the other day and he demanded his picture, and then he complained that pictures make him look a bit chunky.
Oh, that's not the pictures, that's your belly.
No, it's not.
It's making you look chunky.
You see me in that gym, everybody's admiring the muscles. But I've got to say, I enjoyed my game of golf with both of you. I thought it was very
thanks.
Just take it out there and socialise with each
fresh
other.
Fresh air, enjoy
the fresh air. But I was going back to my story. The picture's brilliant. I've got the best golf gear in the world. My shoes are about 300 quid, and somebody slaughtered my shoes. What's that all about out there?
Oh, I know, it's just
sensitive.
They do look a bit scabby.
They're the top of the range.
They certainly are not. Not next to mine.
It's all about the way it looks.
I had the old Nike Airs on.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to bring out the new ones.
You do that. Anyway,
next week.
Enough about him on Instagram. Aberdeen sub Duke on for Barron as they look for a second.
Well, they're making heavy weather of it against 10 men, so the Duke.
Two players that won't be there next year, I don't think. Duke and Barron. Barron away for different reasons. Duke, he must be fed up just sitting about. He looks a good player. I think he could go and do a job elsewhere.
Just mean Jimmy Thielen's when they walk in and find Miowski's been sold to somebody. Duke's away.
I'd be amazed if Miowski is still there.
The good thing is, if they do sell Miowski, the bank balance will look good. So that's the silver lining. And every manager wants to try and sign players, don't they? There he is. He's on. He's on to save the day. Andy Halliday and Sam Nicholson replacing Dan Casey and Davor Zradovsky for Motherwell. So see if that makes any difference.
But with Miowski, we're always quick to point the finger at recruitment failures. Whoever was behind that at Aberdeen, whoever plucked him from, was it Macedonia he came from, or where was he playing before that? You know, a good find. I know Jim Goodwin was manager. I don't know if Jim identified him, but the team round about him to suggest him, great find. Because it's very rare that you get a player of his quality coming in, and then you can.
No, he was in the Hungarian league.
That is a good find to go.
Oh, of course. Because what are you going to get from Miowski? Every right to get 6 million, maybe.
Right age,
something like
upwards,
that.
Anyway, yeah. He's a 24-year-old international footballer, isn't he? So there's every chance that's what they would try and hold on for. Jensen for McKenzie as well. So Aberdeen shaking things up in search of that second. Motherwell freshening it to try and get back in, but they are down to 10 men, so that's going to make it tough. Real mixed response. Baker says you have to get the Dazzler on TikTok, the real Mr. Worldwide. And Paul Allen says, my wife has no idea who the Dazzler is, but she just laughed at the radio. My 2-year-old said, what are you laughing at, mummy? And my wife replied, oh, just that old man on TikTok from the radio.
That's a
just that old man.
Old. I'm not an old man, I'm a young whippersnapper.
Red blooded man.
Yeah. Whippersnapper.
Right, so you've got the teaser now, did you say?
Well, I got it.
Okay, that's no use. I was hoping you would go your own way and one of you would still be in the dark, but I can see lots of correct answers coming in. I'm impressed with the knowledge, as always. I can't be hopeless at these Who Am I's. I'm always amazed at how good you are, I have to say. So quick at getting it right. Then the number of people that get it right, very, very impressed.
When you put it all together, it's quite easy.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I'll take your word for it.
It's quite easy. It's quite easy when the producer's giving you the answer. For three quarters of the season.
I oust him for cheating. I didn't like his way of going about the situation. He used to cheat every Saturday and I wasn't having it. So I went on my own here today. That was a good guess from me.
Honest as a day's long, you are.
Yeah, I've never really went through my life with that sort of a statement.
Good game down in Annan. Annan now 2, Falkirk 3. So remember, Falkirk, they've won the title at a canter. They're looking to maintain an entire unbeaten season. They're still doing it as things stand, but Annan trying to make it difficult for them. Dunfermline 1, Inverness 1. An equaliser there. That could be a crucial one. Semi late on, about 15 minutes or so to go.
A couple of weeks ago, Dunfermline were right in the mix for the playoff spots, but
they fell away.
That's all but over now.
The forums.
But Queen's Park will go above Inverness today. They're 4 up, I think, at Arbroath now.
Yeah, running away with it.
They're Arbroath players. I know Duncan Ferguson had a go at their Arbroath players a couple of weeks ago. He might be onto something. I feel sorry for Jim McIntyre. Good manager, had success here, tangible success, won a trophy in this country, and he's taken that job, but resources very tough. Little, and a huge rebuild needed.
Are they the only part-time team in that league? Is Queen's Park part-time, full-time?
They full-time,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's always got to be a hard shift for them.
They're another one.
I suppose after coming so close as well to promotion, the promised land, yeah. That doesn't quite work out, and then the only way is down. But yeah, Arbroath 0, Queen's Park 5. Dom Thomas adding his second, Queen's Park 5th. So it's not a pretty end to the season.
Well, Queen's Park close last year as well, and you know, decision was made. Owen Coyle go
playoffs
one way.
Playoffs were brilliant last season, weren't they?
Great. And then they chose to go in a different direction and bring in a manager from overseas who like to promote young players and play a certain style, and that has backfired. Now Callum Davidson came in, as I said earlier, and steadied the ship a bit, but I think they would be disappointed, you know, the hierarchy there of how this has all panned out for them this season. Because when you're so close,
obviously you've got a connection in the champion. Who's your favourites for the players? Who do you think will play the 11th team in the Premier League?
So it'll be Partick Airdrie, won't it? Next week. That's hard to call, because you see when you look at the games this season between I know Partick thumped him last week, but Airdrie had a good football on side. Speaking to Chris Nolan actually yesterday about it, and he said, how can you call the playoffs? Look at them last season, where Thistle were, and Thistle, you know, beat it. Look at Air United last season. Nobody saw that coming. Thistle went there, Chris was new into the job, they went there and won it ways, and then they almost beat Ross County. How can you call it? It's a tough one. It really is.
Aberdeen well on top against 10 man Motherwell. Miovski has another shot saved by Liam Kelly, so it certainly looks like a second Aberdeen goal is far more likely than a Motherwell equaliser.
It's all gone static there. You know, Aberdeen look as if they're a shoe-in. Motherwell though, still on 37 points. Aberdeen would go on to 38, but it's all about St Johnstone and Ross County, stuck there above Livy, both losing 2-0, and both will end the day where they started it.
Crazy that these can be described as very quickly. Well, there is a Motherwell chance, a decent chance at the near post, but the header's quite tame in the end and it goes wide. Kevin Van Veen is going to get some game time, Mark. You've got your wish, GMS. So KVV, GMS and David Watson are all coming on for Kilmarnock. Forrest for Vargas was the Hearts change. I was going to say it's incredible to think this is now considered a big goal, but Man United 1, Burnley 0, 79th minute. Anthony, did you see him last week with penalties? You see that? Ridiculous. No. The shame.
I've no time for that boy.
So Man United 3-0 up, chuck it, 3 each. Heartbreaking offside decision for Coventry. Goes to penalties, they win, and he turns round and gives it the cupping of the ears to the Coventry players right as they're standing in the centre circle of the penalties.
Horrible. He's not for me, him. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. St Johnstone 0, Hibs 3, and it's Dylan Venta who has the goal. A big money signing, remember, certainly a big fee by Scottish football standards, particularly for a club like Hibs. His 8th of the season, maybe not quite as many as they would have hoped, but nevertheless, he's got one today. St Johnstone's woes continue. They've been atrocious at the back, terrible defence, good finish, and Hibs are going to win this one easily.
This is a team playing at home, you know, against a team who rarely win, 8 in 29 prior to today. So that's got a worrying look about it for St Johnstone. They could yet be deep in trouble.
They are deep in trouble, Hugh. It's a shootout for me. St Johnstone, Ross County, Aberdeen win today. That takes them out. Motherwell will not get dragged back in there.
Are you sure?
I will confirm you that Motherwell will not get dragged back in there, Gordon. So it's a straight shootout between St Johnstone and Ross County. Livy are gone.
Stenny won, Bonnie Rig Rose won. I think it's trophy day, isn't it, for Stenhouse Muir? So they want to win, but not the end of the world. Bradley Barrett with the equaliser, 10 to go. David Carson on for Dan Mackay at the Tony Macaroni. Still Livy with the lead in that one.
Yeah, well, because things are still up for grabs for a lot of teams, I was thinking now's the time of the season that you would like to see young players, you know, come through and get their introduction off the bench. You look at that Kilmarnock substitutions that have come on, all experienced players. I know they've got Watson still on the side, but he's been there and done it. Do you see a lot of that now? What? You know, academy players and younger players getting the last few games of the season to come on, or is there that much at stake now for some of these teams? It's just not
always the excuse managers use, certainly, whether it's enough or not. Motherwell make another change. Mugabe and Moses, remember, got the dramatic winner at Dens. Maybe he can play a part. Lennon Miller and Stephen O'Donnell, off they go with about 10 minutes of the 90 remaining. Remind us of your teaser, please, Hugh.
Okay, I have played with Ollie McBurney and Andrew Shinney. I've been managed by Duncan Ferguson and Derek McInnes. I've got 2 caps for my national team, and I'm still playing in England.
Call this the 5-minute warning, will we? We'll round this off very soon, and most of the answers are pretty good. James says, is it Chris Maguire?
No.
David says Kane Wilson.
Who's that?
He's not on the list, certainly. David says Owen Tudor Jones.
No.
Okay, that's a bit of a rogue shout, but there we go.
No hyphenated names.
Chris Maguire shared the bench with me at the Emirates. 2 of the unused substitutions in that day.
I thought you were
Brazil.
The only one.
I'm pretty sure Chris Maguire didn't get on as well.
It just shows you the state that Scotland national team were in on those times. When you look around it, who's the manager again?
Craig Levein.
Craig Levein must have looked around the bench and thought, how can I change this? And then there's you and Chris Maguire.
I remember the goal Chris Maguire scored for, was it the 21s? He scored from the halfway line, straight from kickoff.
Yep. That was a strong squad then. Strong squad. That was. We were going places.
Craig Levein's fallen a fair way since then.
Incredible. Edinburgh City 1, Stirling Albion 3, Dale Hilson with the goal in that one. Big game that, down trying to avoid the relegation playoffs in League 1.
St John's and Ross County on the 15th of May, midweek game.
Is it midweek?
Yeah.
Oh, the classic.
You could go up. Is that a Wednesday? You could go up.
We'll go up, yeah.
Well, it's
double the crowd.
No. A bath night's now a Monday.
You're joking.
No, I changed in the winter and the summer, the spring.
Why?
Because
this is huge news. Why is this the first we're hearing of this?
Do you not know this?
No.
No, it's a tradition in my house for years. And a Wednesday in the winter, because it obviously breaks up the week and it's something to look forward to. And when the clocks go
simple existence.
When the clocks go forward in the spring, I go on a Monday because it then freshens you up for a full week because it's going to be sunny.
Cleans you for the full week. Don't need cleaned again.
Yeah, you feel good on a Monday night. So I'm now listening to Hannah and Halliday on a Monday night, which is excellent because I quite
this
like
this is the thing, because Roger just said, sadly I knew Daz changes bath nights when the clocks change. You are one of a kind, I have to say.
Yeah, you've got to mix it up a wee bit.
Remarkable, absolutely remarkable. What a man. Anyway, I'll be thinking, no, I won't. I was going to say I'll be thinking about you tomorrow, but absolutely not. Still nothing. Kilmarnock Hearts, we were hoping. Roger Hanna, it's his fault. He called it game of the day before we kicked off. Third against fourth. Honestly. Still time. Get that dramatic finish, perhaps.
Van Veen.
This is 0-0. Written all over it.
That's a brave shout at quarter to five, Mark.
I've said it all half. You keep saying, we're getting a goal. Great
we're
action.
Getting a goal, yeah.
There's no action down there. They're on holiday mode, these guys.
And it wouldn't quite. No, it wouldn't seal third place for Hearts if it was a draw. A VAR check for a Kelly penalty. It's in the corner of the box. It's an apparent handball, or alleged, or whatever the right phrase is when you're waiting on a VAR check. Still waiting.
Normally
there.
Normally the word is imaginary.
Well, yeah, that's another one that potentially could be the case. A fairly low tolerance for handballs in Scottish football this season. You get the odd surprising one. But still waiting there. Junior Hoylett's had a 20-yarder tipped over for Aberdeen. It definitely looks like they'll win the game. The question really seems to remain whether it will be more than 1-0. Play on, no penalty.
Ooh. There we are. No action at all.
We were waiting on.
Well, Derek McInnes was the man early in the season who said that VAR was doing his head in. The opinion will not have arisen since then.
Yeah, we'll get another look at it. Add it to your list of debating points for Monday. Maybe it was. Maybe it was the perfect decision. Maybe there is nothing to be argued over. But we'll take a look when the highlights are released and see what we make of it. Don't forget, the chance for you to have your say on the phone lines isn't far away.
Old Trafford, Basil. Wow. Old
Trafford. Man United 1, Burnley 1.
How bad are they?
They're terrible.
So who's getting that job then? Because he's certainly,
I would give it to Big Ange.
Yeah.
I would love to see Ange in the dugout at Old Trafford. I think he'd bring a smile back to the Reds' face.
They're an embarrassment.
Kind of get the feeling they need to just get it over and done with now, don't you? Like, yeah. I know modern football culture, they probably do sack managers too often, and I always try to reel against that, but God, it's just...
What about the owner last week? Jim Radcliffe. What about us? Did you see him?
No.
Done the London Marathon. What age is he? 70. Done the London Marathon. Quick shower. Straight to Wembley to watch the semi-final.
How old is he?
70. Something like
that. And apparently his heart rate was much higher during the penalties than it was in the London Marathon.
Somebody in the London Marathon finished Monday, didn't he? Monday morning.
Have one of the big diver suits on. You see them people.
No, it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
I saw someone late on Sunday night.
Monday.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought you had to be finished by a certain time on Sunday night.
Hold on, are you sure?
Check it.
I did see the last. I saw the BBC or something did a. An article, you know, the last runner crosses the line, sort of thing.
Monday morning. Check it out, Gordon's on it.
Ah, well, don't you worry.
Monday morning.
Sure, a nation waits with bated breath to find out. No, 7:30 on Sunday night, I told you.
No, it was Monday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
You've just seen someone coming home for a night out on BBC News and seen them strolling down the mall and thought.
Do you know what it is, right? All your TikTok, you just watched a video on Monday. It doesn't mean it didn't take place.
No, I'm not. I'm standing by my conviction here. I think I'm right. I'm going to check that
maybe
myself.
He sounds certain, doesn't
it? I read it. I seen the lad coming in Monday.
Yeah. No, you bell.
Carrying 6 bottles of milk, 3
in
each
hand. Right. There was one guy. Yeah.
There he go. See.
So it just depends who you believe, because there are loads of articles here that say watch the moment the last runner crosses the line, and it's Sunday night 7:30. They say runners have until midnight, but apparently I don't know what Fred Tomlinson was up to. He crossed the line just after midnight, 13 hours.
13 hours that took him.
That's a point, Fred.
Oh come on, he could have been doing it for a good.
Of course he wasn't joking. It would have been loads
poor
of
Fred.
Charity raised and well done to him. But
could have delivered the papers in London. Still finished it in that time, can he?
Oh, Hugh's shout is starting to creak. Annan 3, Falkirk 3. Can you imagine?
Not at all. They'll be fine.
Thistle 0, Ayr 0.
Third place. Here we are. 75 grand in the pocket.
Do you see any of that as the under 18s manager?
Absolutely not. No. But I'll go into the squad, no doubt, for next year. But that's huge. Third place is massive. I think it gives you the home game second in the playoffs. So that means Thistle will go to Airdrie next week.
It's actually quite a big goal for Annan, because it does move them out of the relegation playoffs and put Stirling Albion back into it. Level on points, but if it wasn't for that equaliser, they would be in the relegation playoff spot. I think we should round off the teaser, Hugh, in case we get any late drama. There's 7 minutes added on at Livy. No one knows why, but there are 7 minutes, so let's do this.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Andrew Shinney and Ollie McBurney. I have been managed by Duncan Ferguson and Derek McInnes. I have 2 caps for my national team, and I'm still playing in England. I am Dylan McGeer.
Dylan McGeer, loads of you got it right, honestly. Really impressed with that. Such a good standard. Third place, Dylan Patton. Second place, Token Jester. And the winner, it's Caffers. Dylan McGeer, knowledge through the roof. What was the clue that did it for you, Gordon DL?
Well, Aberdeen with Derek McInnes. And was it Forest Green with Ferguson?
Yeah, it was. I think played for Carlisle today.
Carlisle.
Who were relegated today.
Two caps?
Yes.
I'm amazed at that.
Why? Deserves more?
Oh, he's got double my caps.
No. But again, what's amazing about that?
Dylan McGeoch was decent.
Remember coming off the back?
I played with Dylan McGeoch.
Did
did you?
Yes.
Remember coming off the back of that, you know, the time at Hibs and stuff. It was that, it was the Peru and Mexico.
Oh, right, okay.
We're giving it a lot of caps at that point.
They don't care.
I remember he came on Celtic Aberdeen, came on, ran the length of the pitch and scored the day that Celtic won 9-0.
Yep, I remember it.
Honestly, I am sick of this. Scott McTominay is down, getting treatment for an injury, looks in some distress.
Oh, no.
Looks
oh,
gutted, no. apparently.
Oh, that's a right wing back away.
What's going on?
I know. That's because I mentioned him, that right wing back role.
No, it's cursed. It's not just him, it's everybody.
It's cursed.
Oh, seriously.
What Dylan chance McGeoch have you got? And we are shout again.
Dylan McGeoch will get his third cap against Germany and Munich at this rate. Mm. Come on. That is not good. Not good at all.
But what is good is that Clyde have won and now go above Stranraer. Right. So well done, Ian McCall.
Yeah, good for
that's,
Clyde.
That's not going to help us in Germany, yeah. Hugh.
Not quite as. No, it's not quite going to offset Scott McTominay's absence from the Euros.
But it'll help me when I go to his wedding.
It will.
Oh, when is it? When's Colin get married?
The.
All right. Okay. This year.
It's this summer, June sometime.
Ah, I'd love to be getting married again.
Something
to look forward to. I love the night, I love the day.
We all get marzipan fatigue by this time.
It was the only thing I liked about the wedding was the full day. See that, just you're the centre of attention. And
No. Your wife is supposed to be the centre of attention.
No, it does at all. Not at all. Save yourself.
Strange. Did you wear a kilt at your weddings?
No.
I've never worn a kilt.
What were your suit? A tuxedo?
Just a lovely sharp. I look sharp. Suit, and away I went.
One of the baggy ones you wore at Air United.
The only day in my life.
You're wrong, Hugh. Lots of people, not for the first time. Oh. Dylan McGeoch's solo goal was St Mirren.
I thought it was against Aberdeen as well.
Hold on, wait a minute. And A says McGeoch's solo goal was against St Mirren, and then Sean says.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a 5-0 against St Mirren, apparently. Here,
no, they're wrong.
I thought it was against Aberdeen as well, Hugh, that he picked the ball.
Now, producer Michael's in my ear saying it was Aberdeen.
It was Aberdeen.
Yeah. Has he scored more than one then?
Anyway, I wore a kilt for the one only day in my life when my daughter got married. I never, ever again. Danny McGrain wouldn't stop laughing at the reception.
I think I'd be the same as Danny. Don't imagine there's much bulk in those legs.
No.
I bought
the most expensive suit I have ever bought, and my wife wouldn't let me wear it.
Why did you not like wearing a kilt?
Because Danny McGrain and Bobby Williamson, who were both at the reception, just kept laughing and laughing.
What tartan did you have?
Don't know.
I'm having the Gordon.
No,
tartan.
The solo goal, St Mirren, Mark Wilson.
I'm watching it
in front of me. I know it's confusing you. St Mirren are red and black.
I'm being shown something different.
No.
Solo goal.
No, you're not.
No, like, is that the same one?
How many times? Like, I'll show you. There you go. Happy with that?
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, remember it now.
Aye. Well, that's right. You picked up in the box.
There we go. Okay,
looks
good.
Like Aberdeen Hugh, doesn't it? Yeah.
Motherwell are having a late rally here, but nothing doing. Blair Spittle with the shot way over the bar. Sockler on for Miovsky there. Four added. No breakthrough then. Have we consigned ourselves to goalless between Kilmarnock and Hearts? Four minutes added.
Yep, I think so. Not much between the sides at all, but doesn't surprise me that today.
Okay, let's see with full time whistles. Are starting to go down the divisions mostly. See if we can get one in the Premiership. Not quite yet, I don't think. He didn't score in the 9-0 either. Everybody's just taking great delight at pointing out Hugh Keevan's mistakes.
I was there with you, Hugh. I stand on that hill with you.
I don't know why though.
Nor do
because
I.
Because he's a truthful, honest man.
Inexplicable.
True,
yeah, I just
got it wrong.
Well, these smart Alex with their access to Google.
With their facts.
Yeah.
Oh no, these people will remember it, believe
clouding
me.
Clouding issues with their facts.
They'll have remembered it straight away, that's for sure. Still no full-time whistles in the top flight. 5-5. That's the way of things now, isn't it? You could get your call in nice and early, I suppose. So 1419511025. Get your thoughts in. It's full-time at Livy. Here's Adam.
Yeah, full time at the Tony Macaroni Arena. It has finished Livingston 2, Ross County 0. Goals from Bruce Anderson and Sean Kelly mean that Livy are not relegated just yet, and they will hang on to their Premiership status for at least one more week. Anderson got the opener after 12 minutes when he latched on to Ryan Leake's short-headed back pass, and he then lifted the ball over Ross Laidlaw and into the net. The Lions were the better of the two sides in the first half, with Anderson and Daniel Mackay coming close to doubling their lead before the break. Ross County's best and only chance of that first half fell to Josh Sims around the half hour mark, but his poked effort after a misjudged header from Obalai played him in was easily saved by Shamil George. Livy entered the break with a one goal lead, and it didn't take them long to extend that in the second half. They were awarded a penalty 9 minutes after the restart when Daniel Mackay flicked the ball off the arm of Mishi Ifeti. Sean Kelly then stepped up to take the penalty and stroked it into the bottom left corner. Ross Laidlaw did get a hand to it, but he couldn't turn it around the post. County enjoyed all of the ball for the remainder of the match, but couldn't really do anything with it. Livingston sat in, defended well, and held on to their comfortable 2-0 lead. Eamon Brophy did have a header cleared off the line in the closing stages, and a left-footed drive tipped wide by Ross Laidlaw in injury time, but they just weren't able to spark a late comeback. I said before this one that the Tony Macaroni Arena was tinged with sadness, but the only emotion you can sense from the fans now is pride. It probably is still too late for Livy. They're 9 points cut adrift with four to play, but they did not play like a relegation bound side today. Ross County, however, are still stuck in 11th place, one behind St Johnstone. They looked unrecognisable from the team that beat Rangers in their last league match, and they'll need a big improvement if they are to lift themselves out of that dreaded relegation playoff position. Is there really now a belief that Livy can achieve the near impossible? We'll find out if that's the case from the gaffer Davy Martindale very soon. Full time in Livingston. Livingston 1, Ross County 0.
It's finished in Perth as well. St Johnstone Hibs, David Friel.
Yeah, full time, Gordon. St Johnstone 1, Hibs 3. Encouraging for Hibs, they were really good, but very, very worrying for St Johnstone. They were really, really bad. Now, Montgomery, Hibs manager, was under major pressure coming out of this one, but his players delivered one of their best displays of the season, their first away win since December, and they could have scored 5 or 6, but as I say, St Johnstone were poor. They are going to need to improve very, very quickly if they are going to dodge this relegation playoff. Hibs were ahead after just 6 minutes. Emiliano Marcondes producing an outstanding free kick. Martin Boyle won the foul. Marcondes curled his shot into the top corner from 25 yards. What a strike it was. St Johnstone, to be fair to him, did almost equalise immediately. Adama Sidibe, he was clean through, his shot was saved, but that was really the closest they came until a late consolation. Mizzian and Maialida, Martin Boyle, Chris Cadden all wasted chances in the first half to make it 2-0 to Hibs, but Paul Hanlon on as a sub did get the second in 44 minutes with a low finish after St Johnstone failed to clear a long throw. St Johnstone tried their best to get back into the game. They had a bit of pressure at the start of the second half, but Hibs had all the chances. Maialida, Marcondes, Boyle all passed up openings before sub Dylan Venti made it 3-1. A great finish, a simple ball over the top, more poor defending. St Johnstone striker Benji Kimbioka did get a consolation back right at the death with a simple finish, but it was too little too late. The boos from the home fans at the end told their own story. St Johnstone in deep trouble. Full time, St Johnstone 1, Hibs 3.
And it's finished at Rugby Park. Roger Hanna.
It has. Gordon, Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 0. The Jambos are a point closer to third. Kelly are a point closer to fourth. They will both be playing European football next season, I suspect, but they will not look back in this afternoon with any great fondness. Twice the crossbar denied the Jambos in the first half. Kelly keeper Will Dennis also made 3 smart saves to deny George Grant. But Stephen Naismith now 5 games unbeaten against his old club this season. Albeit they had a late scare, Kelly finishing in the front foot but just unable to find a breakthrough. Kelly threatened first 17 minutes, Matty Kennedy off target from an angle at the corner of the box, but the rest of the first half was all about the Jambos. Kenny Vargas hitting the bar in 23 minutes after a 1-2 with captain Lauren Shanglin. Dennis in the first of his 3 saves, denying Grant at point blank range in 37 minutes. Moments later, Cammy Devlin's curling right foot shot from just inside the box came back off the bar. Devlin had another chance before the break, but he just couldn't sort his feet at the back post, and the chance was gone. Hearts lost Benny Beringame to injury and added time at the end of the first half with young Macaulay Tate coming on. Kelly reacting to their poor first half display, changing the formation, changing personnel at half time. Brad Lyons coming into the midfield and left back Robbie Dees coming on. Kelly an immediate response. Lyons angled cross held at the second attempt by Jambos goalkeeper Xander Clark, but then his opposite number Dennis twice inspired saves to deny Grant midway through the half as Hearts pushed for the opener. Shanklin flashed a shot over the bar from outside the box, but then in the last moments, Kelly suddenly rallied. There was a snapshot by Kyle Vassell straight at Clark. There was then a penalty, a VAR check for an alleged handball in the box. That was waved on. A second penalty claimed by Kelly when Kai Rowles went in a challenge on Marley Watkins near the end. And then in 4 minutes of added time, Watkins, a flashing shot from substitute Kevin Van Veen's cutback. A fine save by Clark to keep it scoreless. 6,677 people here, Gordon. Not a single goal. Kilmarnock nil, Hearts nil.
And let's go to Dave Galloway because it's finished at Pittodrie.
Yes, Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0 after these two teams served up a 6-goal thriller here earlier this season. It was hoped we'd be treated to more of the same. But in the first half, despite some nice football and plenty attacking intent, the score sheet was blank. Stephen O'Donnell's shot was saved by the legs of Keller Roos early on, but neither keeper had too much to do. Bojan Miovski couldn't connect with Jack McKenzie's cross to the back post despite his acrobatics. The sides carved out a series of chances and half chances but lacked a cutting edge. Dante Polvara went close for the hosts as half time beckoned, with a full-blooded drive from just outside the box going narrowly over. And Aberdeen made a good start to the second half. Angus McDonald's fierce angled drive cleared off the line by Lennon Miller. Motherwell were down to 10 men after Jack Vale's challenge of Jack McKenzie as both went for the ball. That was considered dangerous by ref Craig Napier, a decision which stood after a VAR review. That was after 56 minutes. And then on the hour mark, the Dons deservedly took the lead from Junior Hoylett's corner. Stefan Gartenman got his head to it and the ball went in off the post. Bojan Majovski's effort beat Liam Kelly, but Hoylett couldn't force the ball in at the back post. And Nicky Devlin had his head in his hands after nodding another corner over. Theo Bear had a decent chance to equalise up at the other end, but could only head tamely wide as Motherwell briefly threatened. But Aberdeen almost doubled their advantage when Junior Hoylett's 20-yarder was smartly tipped over by Liam Kelly, who also did well to beat away Duke's stinging shot. Motherwell with a late flurry, but it was much too little too late. It's ended here at Pittodrie. Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0.
And now it is over to you. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. What's on your mind tonight? Are you reflecting on today's football? If so, what are you thinking? If you're happy, that probably means you are a Livy fan, Aberdeen fan, Hibs fan, Kilmarnock and Hearts fans. It's sort of a shrug of the shoulders and on we go. Motherwell fans, are you fearful that the season is just going to peter out from here? And then on to tomorrow. Come on, Celtic fans and Rangers fans, it is getting tense. 0141 951 1025. All your thoughts on tomorrow. Here are some questions to start you off. Rangers fans, would you bring Conor Goldson back into the team or would you leave him out? And Celtic fans, is it time to start James Forrest or is he on the bench? 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here and they're all waiting patiently on your call. So what are you thinking tonight? Have you got today's football on your mind? Did you watch your team win, lose or draw today? Get in touch, let us know what it was like. And then on to tomorrow, how are you feeling? Is it getting nervous, Celtic fans, Rangers fans? St Mirren and Dundee, you've got your own battles to fight as well in that race for European football. So if you want to preview rather than review, 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now if you can, please. A reminder of the scores today then. Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0, Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 0, Livingston 2, Ross County 0, St Johnstone 1, Hibs 3. In the Championship, Arbroath 0, Queen's Park 5, Dunfermline 1, Inverness 1, Morton 0, Raith Rovers 0, Partick Thistle 0, Ayr United 0. In League 1, Alloa 0, Hamilton Accies 1, Annan Athletic 3, Falkirk 3, Edinburgh City 1, Stirling Albion 3, Kelty Hearts 0, Montrose 2, and Queen of the South 2, Cove Rangers 0. In League 2, Clyde 1, East Fife 0, Dumbarton 2, Elgin 2, Forfar 2, Stranraer 0, Stenhouse Muir 1, Bonnyrigg Rose 1, and the Spartans 2, Peterhead 2. What did we learn today, Hugh Keevans?
Well, we learned that Aberdeen and Motherwell are safe, and that St Johnstone and Ross County had better watch out because one of them will definitely be in the playoffs, and that may not be a pleasant watch for whichever one is stuck with it. We also learned that Kilmarnock and Hearts post-split were not at the same intensity level as they were when they were working their way into the top six. It was a bit of a damp squib at Rugby Park. The big picture now is tomorrow.
Yeah, well, the big picture today was at the bottom of the league, because Hugh's right, the one at the top for third and fourth, you know, bit of a non-event really. But at the bottom, yeah, for Ross County, that'll be a sore one for Don Cowie. I think he would have looked to have built, obviously, off that victory against Rangers and thought his team was moving in one direction. But how often has Ross County fans saw that? A great win for Livy, not had many this season, but for St Johnstone and Craig Levine, I think trouble looms for him.
I certainly think it was a good day if you're an Aberdeen supporter. I think they're getting good encouragement last weekend, and they got off to a good start today with 3 points against Motherwell, which moves them above Motherwell and takes them right out that danger zone. The new manager can start looking at the club and start planning for next season, because they ain't going to be in trouble. It's all about St Johnstone, Ross County. But a big congratulations. It's been a hard, hard season for David Martindale at Livingston and all these players, and to get a good result today, so congratulations to him.
Right, come on, 01419511025. Motherwell fans, are you a bit concerned that the season is going to peter out after that defeat against Aberdeen? Aberdeen fans, is that you safe? Livy fans, can you do the unthinkable? Hibs fans, is Nick Montgomery safe for now? All the questions coming out of today, and of course tomorrow, a big day in the champ, in the battle for the title and the battle for European places as well. Let's bring in Billy, who's a Rangers fan. What are you thinking about Rangers tomorrow, Billy?
I just feel good evening, boys. Just feel that the Rangers have got to start with the same team that started against Hearts and the same intensity.
So that would mean no Conor Goldson then?
No Goldson, no. The big man, he's done well, but he's fell off the pace, you know.
I think Billy's quite right. There'll be no Conor Goldson. I don't think so. Why would you change it? I don't think there'll be any problem with intensity, either for Rangers and Paisley or Celtic and Dundee, because now it's about mentality. The team that doesn't win it now will be accused of bottling it.
But it's not automatic. I mean, the title race was very much on when Rangers showed no intensity at Dundee and Dingwall. You know, it's not like you say, oh, it's really important, so therefore, you know, it will be intense. It's not that automatic, because what happened in Dingwall and Dens?
Yeah, sure. But post-split, you crystallise everything. And it's quite simple. One false move and you've had it.
The thing about Conor Goldson, though, Mark, is Philippe Clement said it was a rest last week. So... Yeah.
Well,
is he going to come back in for you?
Well, again,
Billy says no.
It'd be a no for me. I think Balogun has done fine when he's come in. Goldson is going through a tough stage at the minute. His form's been poor, and I think he merited his place on the bench last week. Now, where does that leave Balogun or Souter if Goldson comes back in? If you have to take Philip Clement at his word, then Goldson would be expected to play. But I really don't see, from a manager's point of view, why you would disrupt that partnership that looked fine last week. I don't see the merit in it, though.
I know it kept a clean sheet.
At times, Souter down the left hand side in the second half probably looked like he had a mistake in him. And Souter, I've said this before, John Souter does have a mistake in him. But I don't think it takes away the qualities that he does have. And I think that puts him in a better place at the minute than Goldson. I just think Goldson has lost a bit of that speed, a bit of that sharpness that obviously gets to you when you go beyond 30. I think he's been at the club a long time and his race is run. You're going to disagree with me because you still think he's got a place to play there.
Yeah, I think he's sitting there on a 2-year contract. Look, has he been in form? Absolutely not. I'm not going to disagree with that. He's been poor lately. I think he'll stick with the two centre-backs. I wasn't 100% convinced about them. I go back to when Clement came in at Forest and Rangers were getting all the plaudits about defensively how good they were. That defensive partnership was Balogun and Goulson at the time. Now, I understand Rangers fans not wanting Goulson in the team. I think he'll stick with the same back line, the same goalkeeper. Seymour's injured, am I right in saying that, Gordon?
Yep.
So obviously that'll need to be a change. He'll need to look at that. The one for me that he'll probably start him tomorrow, but I keep going back to it. I think he's better coming off the bench is Matondo.
No, he's injured as well. He's injured. You're all good.
Okay then.
No wingers.
So no wingers. So it leaves him a little bit of a dilemma. I thought Cantwell last week against Hearts was excellent, so he'll be a starter, but he's got plenty of options.
You don't think, Billy, it's a possibility that Goldson does come back, but it's Suter who drops out?
No. To be honest, you don't fix something that's no broke. Stick with what you've got there. And there's a far better performance last week than we've had in the last couple of weeks. So why change it?
Yep, I get that in theory. But Mark, I suppose fans should be more likely than managers to look mostly at the result. Philippe Clement still might have seen those mistakes that John Suter made, or the way that the positional issues, because it doesn't look like Ridvan Yilmaz will make it. So again, you're looking at, you know, Dujon Sterling coming in at left back. It might just be a combination of factors, and added to that the fact that it was called a rest by him last week. I know people don't necessarily believe it, but that's what he said it was.
The back line is going to be an interesting one, because Sterling, I wonder if Sterling will play as one of the wingers like he did at St Mirren before, and he played on that left side, and Barisic actually comes in and plays the left back role. So who do you pair Barisic with? Do you pair him with Suter? Is there too many mistakes within that left side? If you do you go then Balogun, like Daz says, and Goulson comes back in? Because that's what the manager stated, it was clearly a rest. We'll go back to the same old saying, the manager sees these players every day in training. He might see enough in Conor Goldson in training that he still thinks he's a real leader and more dependable than the other ones. Fans see mistakes in games, and once you get a couple, they're quick to jump on you, and, you know, all of a sudden you're not flavour of the month. That's happened to Conor Goldson, but Clement might see it differently. So time will tell in that one. But I think the Sterling one at left back might be an interesting one. With a lack of wingers, he might move up, and Daz's his old favourite and the number three berth, Barisic, might come in.
Billy says don't fix something that's no broke. I take on board last week Hearts clean sheet, but I keep going back to it. I wouldn't be surprised if Goulson comes in. I don't think he will, but I won't be surprised. But I keep going back, and the manager will realise this. When he was performing, especially away from home, defensively, his best partnership, without a shadow of doubt, was Conor Goulson and Balogun.
Mm. What does that count for if those players aren't in the form that they were then? In 10 years, just keep them as the same?
No. I think when you... Well, are you telling me that John Suter's pulling up trees just now? John Suter looks like he's got a mistake in him most weeks as well. Balogun obviously was injured. Suter's lost a bit of form, there's not denying that.
But it would have been easier, or just as easy, to drop Suter last week, wouldn't it have, and put Balogun in then, because it was your biggest game, it was in front of you and it was a semi-final.
I don't think he'll change it, Mark, but what I'm saying is I wouldn't second guess this manager, because I wouldn't be surprised if I turn up here tomorrow and the team lines come in and Goulson is playing, right? I don't think he'll change it, but as I keep going back to it, if he changes it, I don't think it's a bigger worry that every Rangers fan's thinking about, because Goldson's been off form. Their partnership was very, very good.
I think we'd all agree Billy, Rangers probably can't afford to slip up tomorrow. Do you fancy them to win it and win it as comfortably as you'd like?
Oh, definitely. Definitely fancy them. And I'd also like to say good luck to Darvel tomorrow in the West of Scotland Cup final.
Billy, who are they playing?
Pollock.
Oh,
big crowd.
Good one, that. Absolutely. Lots of good football at this time of the season. Thanks to Billy. Let's hear the thoughts of Philippe Clement.
All scenarios are possible, and it can make a lot of turns still in these five final games. Alex told me once that he became champion last four games. He was 5 points behind, for example. So everything is possible. So it's, again, good for you guys that there are a lot of scenarios possible, a lot of things to write about. And for us, it's about thinking about next game and doing everything possible to win that game.
Oh, you can just imagine our old pal Alex Ray. Yeah. Phil, have you ever heard of Helicopter Sunday? Let me tell you, I've got a few tales. He doesn't need a second excuse, not usually, does he?
No, he's been assimilated well into the coaching staff, Alec, and obviously a big honour for him to be loving it. I still miss the lifts home. I don't know.
No offence, Mark. Hold on a minute. You've just asked me for a lift home.
You disappear. You do disappear on the train quite often.
Yeah. I like to mix it up. So I do. But by the way, all joking aside, Alex, at this time of the season, to have in your dressing room and to have someone that can, you know, relate back to a position that looked like all hope was lost at one stage, to be able to, you know, transfer that to the players, useful thing to have about.
Let's get Nadeem's thoughts on tomorrow. What are you thinking, Nadeem?
Hi, Gordon. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Hugh?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I'm phoned up. I had a couple of points. So I went around Scotland, but my main point was around the whole Gunnar Goldson Rangers defensive partnership. I just can't understand some of the Rangers fans coming on and talking about dropping Goldson. You're talking about a player that's, you know, granted he's not had a great season this season. I agree with you. I think he started the season well, but I think he's the last, you know, certainly the last few weeks or so, or a couple of months, he's kind of been off the boil. But you're talking about one of the more influential players in the team. You know, not just his ability on the ball, but, you know, maybe that dwindled a wee bit, maybe. But, you know, the fact that he's a leader in the pitch, you know, he's absolutely massive for Rangers. You know, if I liken it to maybe Celtic, you know, Carl McGregor at Celtic, you know, he's not had a great season. Everybody admits that. You wouldn't drop McGregor if he was fit. So it's the same, for me, it's the same situation with Conor Goldson. He's too influential on the pitch to drop. For me, the partnership would be Conor Goldson and Balogun. I think Balogun has been brilliant since he's come back to Rangers and since he's been playing. I think he's been outstanding. So for me, you play Conor Goldson all day long, all day long.
Kind of get what Nadeem means, because you can acknowledge a loss of form and act accordingly, like last week. But, you know, the previous caller said, if it's not broke, don't fix it, i.e. leave Conor Goldson out tomorrow. So Rangers win again, Conor Goldson stays out. It's just very hard to imagine a scenario where Conor Goldson doesn't play again between now and the end of the season.
I don't think that'll happen.
Very hard to imagine,
yeah,
that, isn't it?
I don't think that'll happen. I think
Or hardly plays.
Yeah, I think Conor Goldson has got too much to offer. He's certainly off form, but every player takes a dip. Look, you get to a certain age, and if you've a few bad games and you're off a bit of form, people start pointing the finger, well, his legs have gone and X, Y, and Z. Every player goes through it. Conor Goldson is a very good defender. He's a very good player for Rangers. He will come back. He will be involved in it. He's still got 2 years left in his contract. So I think he's still a big, big player. I agree. Right now, I think that if Conor Goldson playing at the top of his game, the two best centre backs for me is Goldson and Balogun. Because when Clement come in, they showed that was the way forward. Away from home, defensively, they were brilliant. They weren't leaking goals. So for me, I think that's the two best centre backs.
Have you any anxieties about tomorrow, Nadeem, or Rangers get the job done?
I hope they get the job done. It's obviously it's kind of out of our hands a little bit now with a league title, with the way things have gone. So I'm confident we'll win. I'm confident we'll win. It's just if Celtic, you know, drop any points or how they go on. You know, hopefully they can maybe drop some points against Dundee. But see, I had another point, Gordon, if you don't mind. Just a quick one. It was about Scotland, actually. It was about some of the Euros, as you guys have phoned up regularly, told you guys about that. So obviously, it's well on the top of my mind. So the fact that now that the squad has been extended from 23 to 26, I think it is, what's the panel's thoughts on the three extra players? I know we've got a lot of injuries in terms of the right-back position, and I know McTominay might have got an injury today as well. So we might have, you know, other priorities. But if let's say everyone was near enough fully fit, who's the other three players that you take in the squad, you know?
I genuinely think we're struggling to fill 23 at this point. I am stressed about this Scott McTominay news today. It didn't look good. We don't know for sure, obviously, but he was doing the old banging the turf, you know, in anger. And he's quite a robust character, I think. You know, he came on and then went off again, looked in a bit of distress. So it's just ruined my weekend, quite frankly.
There's no definitive word on Kieran Tierney either. Who's receiving treatment?
Andy Robertson is limping through the mix zone at the London Stadium today as well. Apparently, just call the full thing off. Just forget it.
I think other nations have this worry regularly, but because we've not been at
this seems
many
to be quite an extreme list though, is, that could but, be building.
To top players, and anyway, McTominay would be as big a loss as Sam McGinn because he's been that good for Scotland.
It's now hard to answer Nadeem's question, but it's still a fair one. What would you know? Are there three others that you think could be added, or does it just actually become from that kind of
I
current
think if everybody
group?
Was fit, Gordon, I would cover myself with every base. I would look at wingers because we changed at Hampden not that long ago from a three into a four, and I think it gave Steve Clark the opportunity. But the problem was we'd no width in the team at all. We had midfield players, John McGinn going playing off the right. I think if we're going to change the formation, and I think you've got to do that at top level football, especially in the World Cup against top quality teams, then I think you've got to have the players at your disposal to do that. So I think the fact that he's got three extra players, me personally, it's only my personal opinion, I'd be thinking...
Who then?
Right,
what, James Forrest, Ryan Fraser, Ben Doak, Dan Armstrong?
Somebody later, Ryan Fraser or somebody, a bit of pace gets us up the pitch, changes it a little bit for us, gives us a natural width that we'll need. Because when we changed it the last time, we had midfield players playing in wide areas that were certainly not comfortable and didn't want to play there. They want to influence the game from the middle of the park going forward. So if you've got that extra, because we do play with three at the back, two wing backs, that's our success. That's what we've built the national side on. But when you get to a level of football, sometimes you have got to change the system accordingly, and you've got to have the personnel for
it. Briefly, Mark, any three that you would bring in? Is it hard to pick? Because ultimately you're maybe needing to take an extra centre back now, or does it mean that Liam Cooper and John Souter go? As an example, does it mean that
I think you've
Kenny McLean and Ryan Jack, I'm just throwing, you know, and actually it's not going to be like we pick these three new surprising names.
You know, I would love it to be that way. Like Daz says, three attacking names that really excites you and come on and can change a game. But I think Steve Clark is quite, you know, pragmatic with his approach, and it will be.
Briefly, if you can, Nadeem, have you got any names?
I think the way the country changed is a right back, kind of right full back position. I think Armstrong, you know, he's probably a good enough shout. You know, he's had a great season, he's done really well in that kind of fullback position. So as I said, but I've not really any great, you know, thoughts on it. You know, in terms of who I've thought, I'd just like to hear what the panel thought, because if everybody was fully fit, it's a great conundrum to have. Mm-hmm. And what other three players get, but because the injuries have happened now, it's maybe, as you said, maybe it's a. Okay, just patching a team together rather than going for what you'd ideally like.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully the McTominay news is not too bad, but it didn't look great. Thank you to Nadeem. And if you call now, there's a good chance we'll get you on next.
Talking begins 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans are in the building. We're looking ahead to tomorrow's games, thinking about who should play and who shouldn't and what it means for the title race. I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's football. If you watched your team, tell us what it was like. That's the whole point of a Saturday from 5 till 6. Robert is on Twitter. He says Balogun must start over Goldson. Goldson's confidence looks to have gone in recent months. Balogun looked good against Hearts. Dessers drives me insane, but he must start. Cantwell in the 10, Sterling and McCausland on the wings. And John says belter of a day, gardening on the beers and listening to the phone in, hands down the highlight of my week. Just not too many. I make a mess of the grass, do you? Yeah. Wake up in the morning,
you're letting down. Yeah,
I think
it's all burnt,
it's chopped to bits. Anyway, let's
too
bring
many
in,
beers.
Let's bring in Thomas, who's in East Kilbride. How are you, Thomas?
Not bad, folks. Yes, thank you.
How are things looking from a Celtic perspective tomorrow then?
Well, Celtic I'll make a step up another gear for me. Because I think Dundee have brought for us, because they drew the Rangers the last game, and they'll be looking for a result. So they'll come after Celtic big time. So I don't know what the panel think about that.
It's very straightforward for Celtic. They cannot defend as they defended last week, or they'll be in bother. They lost a goal after 2 minutes, then they lost a goal in the last minute of regulation time, and then lost a goal in the last minute of extra time. Now, that is simply lack of concentration. And Liam Scales and Carter Vickers both had, for me, poor games. And it's as plain as the nose in your face. If you defend like that tomorrow, you are in trouble in Dundee.
It's hard to know, because I don't think Dundee are actually in brilliant form overall. Obviously, when you get, we consider these a statement result. You take points off Celtic or Rangers, it's a statement result, and well done to Dundee. They were very good for it. What was that, about 10 days ago, I think. Now, prior to that, they drew 0-0 at Pittodrie. The game before that, they were 2-0 up and lost 3-2 at home to Motherwell. So it just depends. Sometimes you feel these games are a bit different. Can they replicate it? Can you go back to back home games, Rangers and Celtic, and get something? Maybe, but it's obviously a big challenge.
It's very difficult. And you know that Celtic have got the better players. I know what Hugh was saying there about Celtic giving up goals last weekend, but sometimes you've got to give a wee bit of credit to Aberdeen. Some of the balls in were good quality balls and good finishes. But I think going up to Dens tomorrow, and I know the pitch has been highlighted for weeks upon weeks. The pitch is actually very good.
Oh, it was fine against Rangers in 10 days on.
It's actually a lot better now, Gordon. It's had a lot of work. It's in very good condition, so that's not going to come into play. I just think with the importance of the game, and Celtic will know what they have to do before they kick a ball at Dens, because the Rangers game will be finished. They'll know the result of that. I just think cup football's completely different from the league campaign. It was exciting last week. We all enjoyed it. It was a neutral. It was absolutely brilliant. But it's league business now. I think Celtic will go up there, and I think they will have enough to beat a Dundee team on their day that are very, very good.
Remember Celtic, 7 off them the last time they played, but that was at Celtic Park, and Celtic were in a better place at that time. Callum McGregor, how fit is he?
Well, he's getting fitter by the week. Brendan Rodgers said it was always the plan to give him a little bit of time against Rangers, then the 60 or whatever he got last week, and then up it from there. So,
see, I would disagree with that. I think Celtic are in a better place now.
Yeah, and they also won 3-0 at Dens in December.
Yeah, I think Celtic, with Hitati back on the side, Carter Vickers probably a bit stronger, McGregor getting back to fitness, are in a better place. But the game was at Parkhead that night, and they did win
3-0 at Dens. It's 13-1 to Celtic on aggregate in the three meetings this season.
Well, Bernardo stepped up. Was that on Boxing Day? It was at Mikey Johnson as well on that occasion. I still think Celtic personnel wise are better, but look, at this stage of the season, you're just hoping that players perform. That's what you're looking for. Brendan Rodgers isn't going to do some tactical masterclass that's going to catch Tony Docherty out. Not at all. Tony Docherty's the same. It'll be the same tactic, same point. But for Brendan Rodgers, he will hope the guys who've maybe underperformed in recent weeks, but still got results, will perform at their peak, and they'll remain at that peak for the next 5 games. And so will Philippe come on. And that's what it comes down to: who handles the pressure and who performs on the day.
Yeah, Celtic weren't in a brilliant place at that time, Hugh. It was only 2 games after the home draw with Kilmarnock. It was only 4 league games after the draw at Pittodrie. So actually weren't really. And it came the game before the 2-0 defeat at Tynecastle. So they weren't really in such a bad spot. Thomas, what would you do? Would you play James Forrest? There's been a lot of talk about him this week.
Well, as I was saying to your colleague earlier on there, before I come through, I would start Forrest, because Forrest, I think he's like night and day for Celtic. I know he's been through the park with Celtic 100 times, but he's 100% there.
You showed your hand on this last night, Hugh, no doubt about it. Start him.
Yeah, I mean, Brendan Rodgers spoke yesterday about getting trophy heads on. Well, James Forrest has won 22 major trophies as a Celtic player. I think that whether it's Palmer, Yang, Kuhn, they flit in and out. They are, for me, lightweight in comparison to Forrest, who's a heavyweight achiever. A certified winner, according to Brendan Rodgers. I think now is the time for people like James Forrest to bring that presence and experience to bear over the course of these 5 games, because the mentality has to be perfect to get this over the line.
He did make a big difference last week. Mark obviously scored the goal. He has been lauded by Brendan Rodgers, as Hugh says. He's a certified winner. Some of the comments yesterday, you know, he was talking about even when he went to England, they would tell people that James Forrest was the best they had worked with at receiving the ball tight to the line. He was been really detailed in his praise. Does all that point to him starting? And do we need to be cautious of not getting carried away? You know, is there a reason James Forrest has played as little as he has up until now?
Yeah, well, of course there is. And Brendan Rodgers has been consistent for a good bit of time now about James Forrest and what he thought. And he said that he would play a big part in his team, and he has come on and scored goals. But I wouldn't say he's head and shoulders above the others at the minute in terms of starting. Got to remember, Yang played his probably best game against Beck that night at Celtic Park, and that was the liveliest you've seen him. And you wonder if things like that come into the manager's thinking, that I agree with you, Yang's been, you know, up and down with his form. He looks like weight at times, but when he played so well that night, managers tend to think like that. So it's going to be an interesting selection. James Forrest has got a part to play in this title race, there's no doubt about it. But I wonder if it's, Daz often mentions impact players, and I wonder if James is at the stage now that he gives a real boost to his team when he comes off the bench, and he can be that little burst of energy for half an hour, 45 minutes or half an hour, rather than playing from the start. I know people think, well, what's the point playing from the start? Sometimes when you tire out, you know, a fullback, and you bring on Forrest, who's so direct, you get the best out of him.
I've got to admit, if I was going to start James Forrest, it'd certainly be tomorrow. And the reason being, his confidence must be sky high. You know, he looked a player that was just there to make up the numbers on the bench. He comes on last week in Hampden. He's been terrific, gets his goal. He looked brilliant the time he was on the pitch. I know he gets subbed back off. But then you get all the praise during the week from your manager. So you must be in cloud nine. You must be desperate to go and play. So if he's ever going to start James Forrest, for me, it has to be tomorrow.
How do you feel about the title hopes overall, Thomas, at this stage?
Well, I mean, it's in Celtic's hands. About the four games to go or something, isn't it?
Five. In the league, five starting tomorrow, yeah.
Right. It's in Celtic's hands. If Rangers lose, it's back to Celtic again.
Well, it could be quite a pivotal day tomorrow, that's for sure. That's why there's so much excitement around it. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers.
Listen, I think they've had good results right the way through the season. I think Tony's done a brilliant job, him and his staff. There'll be stronger squads, I'm sure, in the league that will feel that they could have made the top six. But I think the likes of Tony, what he's done, you know, what the likes of Stephen Robinson has done at St Mirren, Derek Kilmarnock, they've really shown their coaching and managerial qualities. And then in particular, Tony coming through and his first season in the Premiership as a manager. The job he's done is absolutely brilliant. So I expect them to play how they've played all season, which is with a collective spirit, work very, very hard for each other and give any team a problem.
It is by no means all about the title race, because Dundee are aiming for European qualification. Here's Tony Docherty.
Any strengths that they've got, we try and negate, and any weaknesses they've got, we try and exploit. And that's what we'll be endeavouring to do on Sunday. And we'll really look forward to the fact that we're at home. You know, I think the home support have been fantastic this season. They won the most recent game there against Rangers. And I'd be looking for them to, you know, contribute as well as much as they've done all season, because they've been outstanding. And again, I go back to that, you know, they must be proud of their team, because their team that have just come up for being newly promoted have achieved all those objectives. And if anybody'd say that at the start of the season, maybe a possibility for the first time in 21 years getting to Europe, then I think they'd have taken that. But they've played a pivotal part, and I hope they continue to do that on Sunday.
You look at that race, Mark Wilson, because of the results of the Cup semi-finals last week, it's five European places to the Scottish Premiership. St Mirren are in there at the moment on 43 points, and Dundee 2 points behind. The table I was looking at there confused me, because it's one of those that forgets that we've got a split, mm-hmm. and it's just moved Hibs above Dundee, which we know is not possible. But anyway, 2 points between St Mirren and Dundee. They play the big two tomorrow. They then play each other, so that's going to be huge.
Yeah, it will be. On the basis of St Mirren being there all season, kind of in and around that position, I'd say they've still got to be favourites. Stephen Robinson's done a fantastic job, there's no doubt about it. Though Tony Dock, for a team that's come up and, you know, compile that squad together to get into sixth place and we are short of Europe, is a remarkable job. And they will make it difficult for Celtic. Just going back to the game tomorrow, when I was at that 7-1 game at Celtic Park, and I'm thinking it's about how you start these games. Dundee started so well that game and could have scored within, was it 60 seconds? They had two or three opportunities and it was scrambling about in the Celtic box, and you're thinking, off the back of Celtic's performances a few weeks before, you think this is going to be a tough night. And they got off the hook and went up and scored the other end shortly after, and it ended up an easy night. Tomorrow, who knows what can happen? If that starts in a similar way and Dundee score, going to be a nervy 90 minutes.
Thanks again to Thomas. 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
After they play, you have your say. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Well, it's that time on a Saturday where we reflect on the day's action, but also look forward to tomorrow's football as well. And tomorrow should be blockbuster. A 6 hour super scoreboard for your audible pleasure. Make sure you join the guys at noon tomorrow. Andrew McLean will look after things in my absence. Let's start getting some reaction to today's football though. Stephen Naismith, Hearts haven't quite secured third yet. It does seem like a matter of time.
I thought our performance today was brilliant, really good. The only thing that missed was probably a few goals. We've done everything but score. And I'd say that, taking into consideration where we are, who we're playing, it's one of the toughest places you'll come in the season. A main part of our season is that we've played it in these grounds and picked up points and had good performances. So really pleased because the performance and probably the chances we created, the only thing was we never got a goal. Maybe if you're in September and you don't win it, you're frustrated more than I am at the moment, because we've ticked the game off, we've had a really good performance, and you want to get to the point where you can enjoy this month that's left, because it's very rarely does it happen, and football's so intense. You don't enjoy these moments at the time. I won trophies and you don't really enjoy them at the time. If we can get over the line, today's went a big way of doing it, because you're asking Mike Mark to not drop a point from now at the end of the season against the best teams in the league. We're in a really good place, it's been a good season, and we can enjoy this and look forward to the challenges of next season.
Said it at the top of the show, Mark, it does feel like some of this is almost taken for granted, because Hearts have been there all season, they're nailed on third, and people can diminish that by saying, yeah, but they've probably got round about the third biggest budget, so they should finish third, fine. But look at Hibs and Aberdeen, it's just not easy. They've been so nailed on third for so long that they're almost not quite getting the credit for being there.
Yeah, and getting to the semi-final as well. And because they're underperforming that, then people start to go back to the old arguments. But Daz pointed out earlier on, Stephen Naismith went through an incredibly difficult period in the season where Hearts fans were maybe wanting a change, and it's easy for clubs to sack managers, and particularly young managers. So he had to ride that out. I remember some post-match interviews, he had to front up and say things that were probably hard for him and then get it right, and he has got it right more often than not this season. So he has to take immense credit, and he rightly so, in the running for manager of the year. A young manager at a big club, and he's been successful this year.
And as for Kilmarnock, Gordon, it's a point that moves them 9 above St Mirren. St Mirren, as we know, play against Rangers tomorrow. That seems like the type of gap where you could legitimately say that a point today could be a good point. That could be the point that is enough for them. Probably would have been enough anyway. But
yeah, but they want to cement that. And as Stephen Naismith quite rightly says, you want to know what your position is so you can go and enjoy the rest of the season, play free football. You've got to look at Kilmarnock, where they've came from to finish fourth, and I think we'll all agree that's what will happen. It's been absolutely terrific for everyone concerned at Rugby Park. I think Derek McInnes is recruited very, very well. He's got a very strong squad. You hear the Hearts manager saying, listen, this is one of the hardest fixtures to come in the calendar. And I think every club would agree with that as well. So to finish fourth this season, from the Championship to 10th last year, the rebuild again, I think he's done a terrific job, and that's why I went for him for my manager.
You kind of both say it, Hugh. If your Hearts, you say, well, that's a really tough place to go. Look at how Celtic and Rangers have struggled there. And if you're Kelly, you say, well, that's the third best team in the country that's come down. So 0-0, point apiece, move on.
I think Stephen Naismith talked it up beautifully, referring to Hearts as brilliant, did everything but score, which for me means you weren't brilliant. But anyway, that's up to him.
He's not having Stephen Smith, are you?
You'll always find a flaw.
But they've done their work. They will be third and fourth, and they have been involved in more good matches than bad ones, so they can pat themselves on the back.
I think with Stephen A. Smith, people assume he's older than what he is. See, when you really think about a manager of his age at a club like Hearts, with the expectations that surrounds them, does it really matter if you've got the biggest budget? For a young manager coming into that club, having come from Hearts reserves and taking on that role, that's That's a difficult first role, and you've got to say he's done really well. I know he's got Shankland and he's got players who can make a difference, but he still needs to get a tune out of them, and he has got a tune out of them.
You've been rich and you've been poor, and rich is better.
Yeah, but again,
I wouldn't know. I've only been poor.
No, but they might have. But the budget advantage over Aberdeen will, if there is one, will be tiny. You would have thought.
I would think so.
Well, but not tiny. Not much in it. If there is, it won't be night and day compared to Hibs.
And he had to take into consideration the whole European fiasco that surrounded him. Remember, he was head coach, and it was Frankie McAvoy and all that nonsense that went. He had to put it behind him and be strong enough. That couldn't have been easy for a young manager. So we always want to give young managers credit, and I think he should get immense credit and for also, the job he's done.
So you know what, I've been impressed with Hearts as well. They've already started preparing for next week with a few players coming in. Danda obviously was counting next season, and Spittle at Motherwell. So he's already on the front foot looking for next year.
Spittle's been much quieter since that pre-contract. He would have to say.
To be fair to Danda, he was doing well with Ross County, but they clearly disappeared this afternoon at Libby.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, from one side of Edinburgh then, let's hear from Nick Montgomery, because it's a really weird time that they're in. They will finish bottom six. There's no getting away from that for a club of that size. It's a terrible season. Then the statement comes out where they're conducting a review of the football structure. They have spoken to Nick Montgomery. They agree that results aren't good enough, but he's still in position. So by beating the worst teams in the league, is that enough to keep him his job? We'll find out in time, but they did win convincingly against St Johnstone today.
In terms of the performance, I thought the performance was good. I thought the result was what we deserved, and that's not always been the case this season. We've dominated so many games this season on stats, on possession, but they don't win you games of football. You know, putting the ball in the back of the net and being clinical in them moments, and we were today, but we weren't as clinical as we should have been, because we could have scored another four goals minimum, but their goalkeeper pulled off some great saves. And a couple of weeks ago at Easter Road, it was a real deflating, disappointing result. And again, the goalkeeper pulled off four or five great saves that day, and we totally dominated. What might have been, what could have been, doesn't matter. You know, what matters is that we came here today, we showed a good character, and the boys put in a good performance. And yeah, we go away with 3 points in what was a difficult game after a difficult 2 weeks. But a good group of lads in there, and never question the character. And yeah, sometimes you have to make your own luck as well, and make sure you defend properly in key moments. And probably disappointed we conceded the goal. Other than that, yeah, obviously really happy with the result.
Bill Foley's money gets him two seats on the board. So two members of his group are there monitoring everything about Hibs. It sounds like a desperate day for St Johnstone. If you can win 3-0 and Nick Montgomery can say we should have had four more. Desperate day for St Johnstone, the home team. But Nick Montgomery lives on a game-by-game basis, and today was a good day.
I suppose, Mark, if he makes a mess of the post-split fixtures, then he certainly won't continue as the Hibs manager by the sounds of the statement. So nothing else for it. Finish the season on a relative high and see if it's enough.
Yeah, and roll the dice in the summer, because I don't think you can be certain either way what's going to happen there. I think Bill Foley would be in his right to say, no, we expect better and we're going to make a change. But for Nick Montgomery, it's just about getting the job done and doing it in a more convincing fashion than we've seen this season. Today was a good start for him.
I think if he gets a positive last few games, Gordon, I think he'll keep his job. I don't see the point than going around the building and starting to sack managers again. He's not that far away from having a good side. Middle of the front, they're good. They've got goal scorers, they've got good players in the middle of the park, they've got good pace, everything about them. He's recruited one or two good players in January. That's a positive sign for him. At the back, if he can get defenders that know how to defend at this level, I would stick with him for one transfer window. I think he deserves it. He's just in the door.
But new owners always want to put their own stamp on things,
Mark,
don't they?
I know that, but sometimes just changing for the sake of changing, we've seen it a million times, and Hibs are guilty of this. They can't even get the top of the tree right. They're talking about bringing someone else in to sit above Brian McDermott. I don't know what his role is going to be then, so they need to get that right first.
Motherwell almost had a chance of top six, left it too late, couldn't get over the line, now beaten by Aberdeen. So Stuart Kettlewell, plenty to think about going forward. He was asked if he believed that the corner Aberdeen scored from should have been a corner in the first place.
Look at the players' reaction. The Aberdeen players start filling back outside the box and our players acknowledge that it's our ball. And it was just at a stage where you just felt that the whole thing was chaotic, which was obviously stemming from the red card that the referee was like an Olympic sprinter to try and get across in Brandis's red card. So I felt that that kind of started it. But I genuinely believe that that's what the game hinged on today. I didn't think there was a great deal, if anything, between the teams at all. Both goalies could have been worked more probably from positions that both Aberdeen and ourselves were in. There wasn't anything in that game until such point as Jack Vale's shown the red card, and it becomes a massive ask for us coming up here. Aberdeen have got their tails up at that point, they've got a numerical advantage, and we go and start throwing caution at the wind and leaving ourselves in 3v2s and 2v1s. I think there might even have been a 4v1 in there. Testament to the players, they poured everything into it. But you know what, up to the point of the red card as well, I thought we were decent, I thought we were alright. For me, it's laughable. You know, you say he looks high, ball's dropped over his shoulder, and he hooks it over his shoulder, and the Aberdeen player, Jack McKenzie, comes steaming into Jack Vale. I'm actually screaming for, I thought it might have been our Phil at the time. He doesn't decelerate at any point. He comes charging in here and into Jack Vale. I can only tell you my gut feeling, and people will see it different ways. As soon as I seen it, my first reaction was just to start laughing. I couldn't believe that it was given us a red card.
Yeah, you're not happy with that red card, so we'll have a look and see. Difficult for us, certainly, if his description is accurate. It sounds harsh, but then managers would do it that way.
So there are ways of expressing yourself. You know, Brendan Rodgers called the referees incompetent. Stuart Kettlewell there, who said it's laughable, but laughable doesn't get you a ban. Incompetent does. So he's clearly not happy with the way the game was refereed, but we'd have to see the Jack Vale incident to be sure in our own minds whether he's got a cause or not.
Right, come on then. Final thoughts, we're nearly done. Tomorrow, Gordon DL, what are you expecting?
I'm going to stick with an eight in the block. I think it'll be plain sailing for both teams. I think Rangers will win the early kickoff in Paisley, and I think Celtic will do the business at Dundee.
So tipping the two favourites is sticking your neck on the block, is it?
Okay, yeah, I think people think that they're going to drop points. I don't see it.
Okay, they are favourites, overwhelmingly. Mark?
One animal draw tomorrow and one is one.
You're not even picking one.
I'll pick tomorrow.
That's called a tease.
Oh, I like that.
Sleep the night.
Rangers will win and Celtic will draw.
There we go. We'll find out tomorrow. It's a 6 hour special on Clyde One Super Scoreboard from 12 noon. Andrew McLean is looking after things. These three will be back. And listen, I try not to be too judgmental, but you'd be crazy to miss it. What a day it's going to be in the title race and the race for European places. So make sure you're here at midday tomorrow. And in the meantime, this is the place to be on a Saturday night. I was going to say the sunshine, and I don't think it is anymore, but nevertheless, George Bowie, GBX, up next. Enjoy your evening.